very busy. Many important matters require a king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again when I am turn.
Your fingers or your
king
doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plan.
I am
super girl.
Your fingers or your tongue.
I am the king. I'm telling mother.
Welcome to the Joffrey of Podcasts. This is me, Bubba. We're back for another podcast. With me, as always, is Catfish. Catfish, how you doing?
I'm doing great today. And as they say in the rap game, 3 is the magic number.
Third time's the charm. It better be, because we want to keep making great podcasts for you. Great podcasts which highlight the best character ever, our good friend, King Joffrey. Now, we've got a lot of special things for the listeners today. We have our Joffreys of the Week. We have a special song sent in by one of our listeners.
Can I say it, though? Can I say it?
I'm not sure we want to say
okay.
It just yet.
All right, okay, all right. But let me, I'm just trying to lay it out here. We have got the best guest ever. Not the guest we promised last week, some flaky lawyer from Hawaii. We have got a real guest this week, second only to having Joffrey himself.
Oh, wow. That is a good point. That's a little tease. He's coming up a little later in the show. Actually,
So don't be disappointed, because it's not Joffrey.
It's not Joffrey. But we got to do our feedback first, because our last show, we asked you guys to follow us on Twitter, hit us with iTunes reviews, and real quickly, I want to give a shout out to our new Twitter followers. We have Krista Ivy, Cat Bass. We have Clifford
Kiabu.
We have Graham, Paul, Joe, and KovalEV87 following us on Twitter. If you want to follow us on Twitter, just go follow Fitten Trim. That's FitenTrim. Fitten Trim. That's a way to keep up with all the Joffrey of Podcast news.
Now, just one small correction. I believe you
correction.
Said... Correction. Yes, one of the names you just gave, it sounded like Ned Stark saying it. I believe that Joffrey would say Clifford Kiabu. So we apologize for that Starkism, Clifford, and thank you for being a follower.
Don't worry, I'll edit that out so Clifford won't know how we butchered his name.
We
did. So you're following us on Twitter, but last week we asked you please to give us reviews on iTunes, and so we want to highlight some of our new reviews. Catfish, who's given us reviews in the last week?
Well, we've gotten quite a few, so we're only able to pick out the creme de la creme. Able to pick out the Joffreys of the reviews.
Okay, so read some of them.
This first one, we have a three-part review.
A three-part review.
From someone known as the Black Kraken.
The Black Kraken. I like this person already. Let's hear it.
Well, the review's not all great. There's some constructive criticism.
Uh-oh.
His first point is it needs more Joffrey and Joffrey-centric content.
Ooh, ouch.
It stings a little bit.
Right.
Number two, in an apparent effort to be more quote-unquote fair and balanced, I think too much time is being spent on opposing, a.k.a. treasonous views of our beloved monarch. This should not be encouraged.
No.
As Grandmaster Pycelle so wisely noted, treason is treason and must be punished and removed root and stem.
Root and stem, just like Varys was root and stem, just like Theon. We got to get rid of these treasonous ideas.
Exactly. Number three.
A third point.
Third point. And I believe this encapsulates all of it. It needs more Joffrey.
Oh, well, we have the smartest listeners, and that's a constructive criticism, iTunes review from the Black Kraken. Thank you. We'll listen to you, your advice, and we'll try to follow it this week. I want to get to some other iTunes reviews that maybe show that the Black Kraken is on to something. This next review came from Black Lannister.
Nice, Black Lannister.
This says that the podcast is setting the record straight no matter where common sense or facts lead you.
Yeah.
Thank you so
much.
Now
that is smart, because as we all know, common sense and facts,
right,
they'll lead you down that primrose path, my friend.
Right, common sense. Joffrey isn't common. Why would we listen to common sense? Who wants a common girlfriend? No, you want the best. Thank you very much for that iTunes review. We got a couple more. What's this next one, Catfish?
Deanna038, First of all, I loved her comment, but I'm a little confused by the title, by the heading of it, because it says so funny. I think she may be misguided because I don't understand.
I think she means it's funny that somebody has to set the record straight. Isn't that kind of what it's
that,
getting at right
That must here? Be what she means. Because I've talked to several people who've listened to this, and they have assured me that there's nothing funny about it.
Right. Yeah, many people say they aren't laughing at all when they listen, which is good. One of the things that Deanna O38 writes is she says, what would Joffrey do is one of her favorite segments, but then she also writes that she goes, quote, I wish I could have a Joffrey at my home to tell me what my children do 24/7.
Well, I believe, ladies, he's not spoken for yet.
Not yet. Joffrey is engaged, but we've shown that sometimes the Seven Gods demand he break them. So Deanna, 038, he's still available.
You've still got a shot. You have still got a shot. Our last comment is from a gentleman who refers to himself as Butt Stuff for Life.
Butt Stuff for Life. That
well, there's a Y there, so maybe it's
Croatian, I think. That's okay. How a lot of Croatian names okay. are with
Butt
a Y.
Stuff
Butt
for
Stuff
life.
For Life. It's probably pronounced for life.
And he says, finally, a podcast that reveals the true Joffrey.
True
and,
Joffrey.
And basically, his comments consist of... Hodor. And it goes on
it does.
In that vein.
He wrote that many times.
Now, I don't speak Hodor very well, but I think the gist of what I'm getting there is Joffrey is the man.
The man. He wanted us to see it for ourselves. It's like when you look at that stain, is it Joffrey's face? Yes, that stain is Joffrey's face on my wall that I'll never wash because it's Joffrey's face. And like by looking at it, we can all see something special.
And you know, this also reminds me though, I do feel a little bit sad for Hodor.
Right.
In that he has to associate with a traitor.
Good
he
point.
Seems like a good-hearted, strong person
Very
who
strong.
Would do better under the guidance of Joffrey, as would we all, frankly, but particularly
True.
Hodor.
Definitely Hodor. So those were four great iTunes reviews in the store. Folks, we need more. The way this works is when you give us reviews on iTunes, that helps other Joffrey fans find this podcast. And that's the big way that we can grow and spread the gospel of Joffrey. So thank you very much. And keep those reviews coming. Now, Catfish, I think we've kept our listeners waiting long enough.
I know I have waited long enough.
We have got a special get. I said a special get because he is the number one get of all guests you can have
on
your podcast.
It is a get. As I said, let me just
list
my three top interview wishes of all time.
Let's hear them.
Number one, Joffrey.
Number
three, Jesus. Number two.
Number two.
And here he is.
Here he comes.
George R. R. Martin.
Yeah.
Hey, glad to be here.
Mr. Martin, we are such fans of your books and your TV show. We're thrilled to have you. You know, I'm sure we know that you get lots of interview requests, and you can only do so many interviews, and the interviews you choose to do are with the most perceptive of fans.
It's a thrill to be here. This is quite a kick for me.
Oh, thank you. Thank
yes,
you. Thank
great.
You. Very thrilled.
So let's get into it. Let's
do
get
it.
Into the nitty-gritty.
Let's go.
Now, I know every character that you write is like a child that you bring up, but we all know everybody has a favorite child.
Everybody has a favorite child. I am my mother's favorite child.
My mother adopted a child from Paraguay, and that was her favorite child.
You're probably up there on the list, though. If not the first, you're in the list.
Definitely top five.
For sure.
So, George, who is your favorite child, a.k.a. character?
People often ask me who's my favorite character, and my answer is always Joffrey.
Yeah. Yes. Naturally.
Yes, thank you.
Naturally.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm surprised people even ask, because I knew the answer.
You know, though, we do get some pushback on this, so it's finally glad to see that the person who's the mastermind behind all this is able to recognize who is the man.
You knew George. So, because he's your favorite character, he's everybody's favorite character, let's just get to the why. Why is he the best character? What is his best quality?
Joffrey is a very honorable man.
Oh, yeah.
Mommy, that can't be hit, though, right?
Right, yeah. No, that's not all. I mean, there's more to Joffrey. Yeah,
come
what
on, what
else?
Empathy.
And?
Humanity.
And?
And his honor and his decency.
Finally!
Yes, yes.
Sheesh.
Now, what is the example of how this amazing character...
Amazing character.
Amazing. Has touched people, real people.
Joffrey is a classic giant of literature. Fully functioning man. I'm actually having a number of people naming their children Joffrey. They send me pictures of their babies and sometimes bring them to my signings.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I wish I had children. I would call them all Joffrey.
Well, you could adopt. And you could adopt kids. Hearing that, it makes me want to adopt some teens, rename them Joffrey, and then let them know, you know, let them be popular at school.
You know, what would be a fascinating experience is if we could, adopt some really strong children and call them Joffrey.
Only
and then adopt children. Some weak children and call them, like Ned and Bran.
Or Tyrion.
And then we could just have our very own Game of Thrones at home.
Right. Like, if we could find a child who was sickly and name him, if it was a boy, Daenerys, that would really... Really let everybody know.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. We've gotten on a track here. Sorry, George.
Sorry, George.
That's an idea for you, George. Now, some people can't relate to Joffrey because he's such an all-powerful, godlike figure. Why do you think some people can't relate to him?
None of us are God.
I'm not. I'm not a God.
No,
I mean, no matter how much I tell myself every day in tweets. So, I have a question, if I could, and this is, I want to go into detail about this great, great character, and I mean Joffrey, obviously. How was he able to defeat Stannis in the Battle of Blackwater?
He's a very, very formidable warrior. I mean, he has all the skills of a knight. He can joust. He can fight with a sword.
Right.
He's very formidable.
Keep going.
Uh-huh.
A ruler, a diplomat, a general, etc.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, one question I had was, seeing the powerful effect of Joffrey.
Powerful.
He's powerful, but also sensitive. And I may be leading you in this question, but so I just wanted to answer yourself. Why do both men and women love Joffrey?
Joffrey is
this concept of chivalry and knights defending the weak, protecting the innocent. All of this stuff that a knight is supposed to do. His weapons are wit and sarcasm and, scathing observances and truth-telling.
Oh, amen,
for,
brother.
For sure. But
amen.
When you say truth-telling, it's like you're telling truths right now. It's like, George, you're trying to be a bit like your character. You can't be that good because you're... You know, we've seen you, but
we're all flawed human beings,
right? But you're trying to be like Joffrey, being truth-telling. That was really, really good. Now, boy, this is a question we have to ask. I hate to ask it. Catfish.
The Black Kraken is going to be very upset
right.
with us.
Oh my God, he is. All right, so but we have to ask it. One of the ways you know Joffrey is so great is when you compare and contrast him to all the villains on the show.
Okay, and I think that's fair then.
That's fair. Again, this is about Joffrey because he's so much better than the villains. So
but it's sort of like you can't know what light is unless you compare it to dark.
I don't know what light is. Right.
Well, just compare it to dark.
Good. Oh, good point. So let's ask about some of these characters. And first, George, what are some of your thoughts about Ned Stark?
Ned Stark... It's a brute, this savage, this man subject to these black rages who kills and maims without thought.
Ugh, so true.
Amen.
So true.
It's there on the page. It's there on the show. You described them perfectly.
Yeah. And let's talk about another one of these sanctimonious Stark issues. What about Jon Snow?
It's not tremendously fertile.
Oh.
Is someone who just wants to pillage and loot.
Yeah, true. True. I know, he doesn't seem to get it up well.
No. I mean, Grant, he had to service with his mouth because downstairs, no. I have another, an even more villainous character I thought you could comment on, and that is Bran Stark.
Bully in many ways, and he's very full of himself, and he's incredibly spoiled.
Definitely
spoiled. He's like, I want to be carried around everywhere because I'm too lazy to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
Now, George, you're obviously very busy writing. I know you've got some other projects in the Song and Ice and Fire world.
Yeah.
But you can't be writing all the time. You've got to recharge and let your mind fill up with other things. So what when you're not writing, what are you thinking about?
A penis entering a vagina.
Oh. This is going to have to be a mature rating on iTunes this week. That's great. That's great. I like to think about that.
Yeah, no,
doesn't everybody?
True. It's
so wait, here's a question. Here's a question.
Let's move on.
Moving on. Okay. So
Let's move on.
Tyrion
always seems to be disrespecting Joffrey.
Tyrion, God, the guy can't act, and then he's a terrible character.
His accent.
Very bad.
Forgive me if I'm wrong. Isn't he supposed to be younger than the rest of them?
Right.
He's almost as old as it. Anyway. All right, moving on.
But the character of Tyrion.
When you're writing this evil character, well, how do you imagine that the readers are responding to him? How do they react?
Tyrion.
Everybody wants to see that little shit die.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah. I cannot wait for that. Every time I watch the episode, my girlfriend says to me, when is that little imp going to die?
It's like the only reason why we keep watching is just to see it happen. I mean, it's right there on the page. I think everybody thinks that it's there on the screen. That's really good. Now, we don't want to take all your time, George. Thank you. You've been very generous. So kind of just a couple final wrap-up questions, and that is, right now they are filming season 4 in Iceland, in Northern Ireland, in Croatia. And so we were wondering, are there any non-spoilers you can give for season 4 of Game of Thrones?
Arya,
that particular little shit does die.
I think that's a spoiler, but maybe we could all see it coming.
Well, but at least my girlfriend will keep watching.
Everybody will keep watching once they see
that. Okay, all right.
Thank you, George. Last question. We got to ask this.
We all know that the show is catching up to the books, no matter how we try to pretend otherwise. How confident are you that you'll finish the books before the show needs that material?
George? Huh, well, it is, I mean...
George?
Huh. He's going to answer. Let's just wait for that.
Okay.
Here, let's just put him on hold.
Okay, let's put George on hold, and we'll get back to that interview. We'll get that very last important question answered on this podcast today, we promise.
We're going to have the answer on today's podcast. It's incredible. Once again, thanks to our special guest, George R.R. Martin. Now let's move on with the show.
I'm king now. King now.
I'm telling mother.
Okay, now let's move to one of our more popular segments, WWJD. What does that stand for, Catfish?
What would Joffrey do, Bubba?
What would Joffrey do? I see it on everybody's cars, on bumper stickers. It's a popular segment of our show. Now, for everybody who is new to our show, maybe this is the first show you've listened to.
And congratulations.
Right, you've made a wise choice. What we do for What Would Joffrey Do is we go to the Deary Abbey segment, and we find a question somebody has submitted to Abbey, which really seems like a silly person to ask a question. You should ask Joffrey. So we read the question they submitted to Dear Abby, and then we answer it just like Joffrey would.
Right, because Abby doesn't have the life experiences that Joffrey does.
Not at all.
And we are able to use some real-life examples.
Real-life examples.
Of what Joffrey has done to guide us.
All right. So, Catfish, I hear you have a great question. Let's hear it.
Yes. Dear Joffrey, I am recently retired. I enjoy it, and my daily routine is filled with activities that keep me busy. My problem is relatives who retired a few years ago who are bored out of their minds.
Aye.
They show up at my home unannounced at all hours of the day and disrupt my routine. They assume I have nothing to do like them. I am not interested in babysitting these people so their wives won't have to put up with them. What should I do? Retired in Boston.
Well,
now I believe, personally,
you believe
there is a direct correlation.
Without question. Let's hear it. I do too. What do you think?
When Ned Stark shows up,
right,
leaves his wife because she's bored with him.
No, boring.
Comes to King's Landing.
She does.
He's got nothing to do but to cause trouble while other people are trying to get work done.
That is terrible. Now, are you saying retired in Boston should treat this the way Joffrey did?
I believe she should.
Right. I mean, these relatives are bored out of their minds. And one thing Joffrey does is really takes people out of their minds, literally.
That's
what he did with Ned Stark. He's like, you're bored out of your mind? Kiss your mind goodbye.
Bam. Cha-ching. I think your mind would be more entertained on the top of this spike.
Right. You'll see a great view of the city. That was really, really wise. Where I thought you were going, Catfish, is this person's talking about relatives who are just showing up unannounced at his home all hours of the day. Do you remember in season 2, it was Joffrey's name day, and what relative showed up out of the blue?
Which relative?
Tyrion. Tyrion's just marching up like, here I am to ruin the party because I'm bored. And, you know, it's not... Joffrey's already babysitting Tyrion's wife of Sansa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, as I've said before, Tyrion doesn't measure up. Now, do you get what that is?
He's not as tall?
You figured it out. Very good, Catfish. I was worried you had. And so, retired in Boston, I really think, look at the way Joffrey has livened Tyrion. Tyrion was bored, so Joffrey had Sir Mandon Moore, you know, kind of play sword fight with him at the end of Blackwater Bay. Joffrey's really been helping out a lot to keep things going.
And he really has had his routine disrupted.
Very much.
As well.
Right.
I mean, when there was the battle, Tyrion was come up here, come and fight.
Right.
I mean, we talked about this one time before, but he was really disrupting the quiet time that Joffrey wanted to have down in the basement.
How could Joffrey think and plan a battle if Tyrion's like making all these noise, setting off fireworks, yada, yada, yada? Joffrey had to go find some me time for him. And so, retired in Boston, maybe you should do that as well.
I've been very busy.
I'm telling Mother.
All right, before we move on to our next section, let's check in with our special guest this week, famed author and creator of A Song of Ice and Fire and Game of Thrones, author George R. R. Martin. George, are you there still?
George?
George, we wanted to get that answer from you about...
George? Maybe we should check back with him later.
Let's check back. I'm sure he'll be done in a bit.
We promise we will get that answer
for you. Just like he'll be done with the book, he'll be done with that answer in a bit. All right. Now it's time for one of our other popular sections. It's our Joffrey of the Week. This week, I wanted to do something special, and that is that we're in the United States. Some people, we were worried that our show was too United States-focused, but we have downloads from all around the world. We have
international
downloads. We have Denmark, Norway, Ghana, Syria, Australia, Mexico, Brazil, France, Ireland,
United Arab Emirates,
Germany, Egypt, Spain, all these great places.
And this one I can't even read.
I think that's Switzerland in its native language. I think that's what Switzerland is. Or Sweden. It's one of them.
This one.
Oh, that's South Korea.
Oh, South Korea. Excellent.
And Vietnam. And so anyway, what we decided to do, is to thank our international listeners and pick some international Joffreys of the Week. For me, I decided to look at whichever country got us the most downloads. They would be my Joffrey of the Week. It was real close between the United Kingdom and Canada, but Canada won. So you get ready, Canada. This is your chance to have a Joffrey of the Week. In my Joffrey of the Week, he's a mayor from Huntingdon, Quebec, in Canada. His name's Stefan Grendon. And let me tell you, he's the mayor there, just like Joffrey's the king. Sometimes you got to do stuff yourself. You got to do hands-on. And he was really annoyed with a lot of feral cats roaming around his town. So he recently said on the radio, Mayor Grendon, he said, "When I see a cat in the street, I accelerate. Stray cats have no business on the street, so bang, I accelerate." And he went on to add that the other day he backed up his truck over a newborn kitten, and he was sure, quote, "It didn't feel a thing."
Mm-hmm.
So Mayor Grendon, I don't even know how to say his name. I'm just going to call him Mayor Joffrey. Joffrey.
Gendron? Okay.
Gendron, that's
Joffrey?
Right.
Joffrey?
Right. He is the mayor once again of Huntingdon, Quebec, Canada. My Joffrey of the Week. Are you proud that, like Joffrey, Joffrey took care of the prostitute problem in the streets of King's Landing personally? Here, this mayor is taking care of these feral cats personally. Joffrey, feral prostitutes. This mayor, Mayor Joffrey, feral cats.
Well, I can't do any better than that.
I didn't think you could.
But.
What?
In a little bit of a twist.
Oh, okay.
I have my Joffrey of the Week.
Okay.
Turned into a Ned Stark of the Week.
Oh, this is the most depressing thing I've ever heard. So somebody was great, and then they turned miserable.
Mm-hmm. And this is also an international flavor. I'd like to thank our friends down under for this.
Right.
A gentleman named Peter Dowling, Liberal National Party Member of Parliament,
right,
in Queensland.
Okay.
He was also the head of the Queensland Parliament Ethics Committee.
Oh, he's in a position of power just like Joffrey.
A position not just of power,
not just.
But of setting the moral standards.
A lot of standards have morals.
Apparently at some point he had sent a woman a picture that had the picture was of his penis in a glass of red wine.
That is leadership.
It was,
anybody can send, like, here, American politicians, it's like, here's my manhood, here's a picture of it. But to put it in something like red wine, which is red wine goes great with dark meats. Mm-hmm. And so here, it's like the two go together.
Well, I believe it was a 94, and that was a very good year for penis wine.
Without question, it was.
So what I thought was great about this was, you know, a lot of people have a lot of differing viewpoints, but he was out there strong
with his
ethical and moral example to the people.
Right.
Okay?
Without question.
The penis goes in the wine.
In the wine.
And then right from there to your mouth, delicious, good.
People always say they wish they could have a little Joffrey in them. And this guy's trying to do it himself.
Sadly, however.
What?
Yes. Due to the pressure from the rabble, he resigned his position.
What? Joffrey would never resign for doing something brilliant and strong.
Exactly. Hmm. Exactly. Like that weakling Ned Stark.
Yep.
He allowed himself to be affected by the moral, the piddly moral concerns of others.
Terrible.
So for that, Liberal National Party Member of Parliament Peter Dowling, you get my Joffrey of the Week.
Yeah.
And my Ned Stark of the Week.
Ooh, ouch. Well, Australia, you're going to have to download a lot more podcasts this week to make up for this person that you probably, I don't blame you, but just like Joffrey, I'm going to hold you accountable for this person. And maybe
stay strong, Australia.
Stay strong.
And watch your back.
Definitely. Definitely. I was thinking that he needed a wine glass when he was real Joffrey, but then when he became like the Ned Stark of the Week, maybe he needed a little Dixie cup.
Shot glass.
Right. Oh, definitely a shot glass. That's very good, Catfish. So that's going to, before we do our good night, let's do one last check with our special guest, Song of Ice and Fire creator George R. R. Martin.
We are going to get the answer for you this time. George, what do you think?
Well,
George, we got it. George, we're almost done with the. George, we really.
Guy, good grief.
You know, we'll check in with him on the next podcast.
Right, on the next,
maybe.
You have to download the next podcast.
The next podcast, we'll have George's answer to that question.
So, thanks to our guest, George R.R. Martin.
A penis entering a vagina.
Once again, please give us those reviews on iTunes. We know it's painful for you to go to iTunes and actually type and write. We know how busy your life is, but just give us that little bit of time. That's the way other Joffrey fans, other Game of Thrones fans can find us. So please. Hey,
and never fear, because we are nowhere near from done with this podcast.
Not
we will
even
keep
close.
Podcasting for as long as Joffrey is protecting the kingdom.
Right. I used to say that we're going to keep doing this show until we've convinced every single person of how brilliant Joffrey is. And I'm pretty sure we're close to having convinced everybody. Because if there's one thing I know, if somebody disagrees with something, you just go on the internet and say, no, you're wrong. And then they realize the error of their ways. I'm pretty sure with these three shows, we've convinced half the world's population.
We've only got another half to go.
Another half.
I'm looking at you, Myanmar.
Myanmar. We need some downloads from that. So if you want to contact us, if you want to submit your own Joffrey of the Weeks, find us on Twitter. Catfish, what if people want to comment to you?
Oh, my Twitter handle is CJGMAN67.
That just rolls off the tongue.
It certainly does.
Say it one more time.
CJGMAN67.
So that is Catfish on Twitter. If you want to reach me on Twitter, you can find me at Fit and Trim. That's FITTENTRIM, Fit and Trim, all one word, on Twitter.
There's a lot of T's in that.
There are so many T's for terrific Joffrey.
If the T does not work on your keyboard, find someone else's keyboard.
Now, as we leave, we had our double S's last week. Now, you remember what double S stands for, Catfish?
It's for successful spin-off.
Spin-off special. Spin-off. That's right. Spin-off specials, Catfish. It was like you were there last week when we decided what double S we like to call.
I remember what BB is.
So we have a listener. I like to call him Double M.
Double M?
Matt Murdock. So Matt Murdock is good friends with Willie Nelson. And so Willie Nelson heard our spinoff special, our double S last week, about Uncle Craster. And so Matt Murdock, Double M, got it, Willie Nelson to write this special song.
Well, I like to call WW.
WW?
Willie Weed.
Willie Weed. Sure enough, WW, Willie Weed. So here's his song.
I'm a godly man, and I ain't got the time to be sneaking south of no wall just to get me a sip of southern wine. Let me tell you why. 'Cause there's offerings to be made and daughters to be laid and black crows to string out on a line. So be kind to this godly man and keep your own godly hands off women that are mine. So be kind to this godly man and keep your crow's ungodly hands off women that are mine.
Ha ha ha.